chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. I am thrilled to have Jana Murfin on the show today. Jana is the Chief Technology Officer at CrossFirst Bank. Well, Jana, welcome to the Something Extra Podcast. I am delighted that you are making the time to be on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Lisa. It was so kind of you.
Well, you and I met at the National Orbeez in Boston and just had a really good time. So I always say I did what all good podcast hosts do, and I invited you on the podcast so I can spend more time with you.
That's right. We connected at the Inspire CIO Converge 2023, and I think we made several connections over just technology, leadership, careers, family, and it was great getting to know you, and we've continued the conversation since then.
We sure have, and that's wonderful. So I'm just going to say, if there are any technology executives out there and you've not got involved in Inspire and Converge, Converge 2024, I believe it's going to be in Dallas. I promise you it will be worth your while. There will be a great return on your investment because you get to meet amazing people like Jana. But Jana, you're the CTO for CrossFirst Bank in Leawood, Kansas. And I believe, weren't you a finalist for the Kansas City CIO?
I think it was
in 2022 or 20. Yeah.
Yes. 2022.
You've been named Ingram's 40 under 40. For exhibiting the highest level of integrity, entrepreneurial thinking, leadership acumen, as well as industry and civic involvement. And I cannot wait, Jana, to introduce you today to our listeners, because I know that your wisdom is going to help them on their own leadership journey. But tell me about the story about you growing up. I don't even know where you grew up. I want to know where you grew up, what you like to do as a young girl.
Well, I grew up in Des Moines, Iowa, my entire childhood in the same house with my parents and two siblings. And, you know, I always had a competitive drive from early on. And I started playing soccer at a young age. And that was really my passion and love was playing soccer. And then as I got into middle school and high school, fell in love with running as well. And so just had a lot of fun growing up, but I learned a lot of life lessons playing sports. I learned how to win, and I learned how, most importantly, to lose. And I also knew, I remember vivid memories of, someone got, the starting position over me, and what did I need to do to earn it back? How did I, work hard to improve, not only individually for myself and what I could do for my team. So there was a lot of tough lessons growing up on that I've translated of how I've learned to handle that in the real world as an adult. So, after graduating high school, I went on to Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, and graduated from Miami with a degree in accounting. And so started my career in accounting, working for KPMG. My recommendation still is always to anyone out there, get an accounting or finance degree, because it is such an amazing foundation and really helps you in any area of your life or professional career. And started out my career in public accounting on the audit side, and spent my first half of my career doing that, and then transitioned into various roles where I just kind of followed my passion and asking questions. And turned out I really enjoyed technology and learning everything about it, and just followed that journey. And here I am today.
Yes, as the CTO. There's so much here that I want to talk about. So talking about, that makes a lot of sense that you played sports, because you, I cannot even tell you, it'd be an interesting study, seriously, Gina, to go back and look at the number of leaders that were athletes. A lot of technology leaders, a lot of technology leaders. Justin McFarlane here, that was the CIO for McCarthy. He played college soccer at WashU. I mean, I just can't even tell you how many. And I know, too, that there's Enterprise Rent-A-Car is a large client of ours here in St. Louis. And one of the things they look at when they're recruiting young people are athletes. And I think, to your point, there's so much that you learn from that competition, learning how to work as a team, learning that every position on the team is important, right?
And I think there's discipline that you have to really learn on. You put into it, like what you put into it, your level of effort and your attitude kind of drives your results. And I look at it just as, you know, for example, in the real world, if you're planning and putting the level and time and effort into preparing, things are going to go well. It's when you haven't put in the time and you haven't prepared. I enjoy public speaking, and sometimes people ask me like, oh, that was great. And I said, well, it was great because I practiced. And people don't realize before I go up on, and present for anything, I practice. I prepare.
Absolutely.
And I make sure I have everything I know that I'm going to articulate and say, and the key messages I want to get across. I don't just wing it. And so I think that that's something just that translates to, you can't just wing it in a game. You have to plan, you have to prepare, you have to understand all the roles, how you're working together, what you need to do to contribute, and play your part. And all of us have to play certain roles, right? And sometimes you might be more at the forefront, and some you might be a more supportive role. And it shifts and changes, over time, significantly. And all are extremely important roles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a lot of fun.
Yes. Well, you are speaking my language, Jana. You are totally speaking my language. I had in one of my roles that I had, I started my career at McDonnell Douglas. That's something else you and I have in common. We talked about, I have a BS in accounting. So yes. I started, while you went to KPMG, I went to corporate accounting with McDonnell Douglas. But after I left Mac, I was at another Fortune 500 company, and I had, my boss was an ex-Marine. And his favorite motto was, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. And I so believe what you just said. Someone sees the game, right? Or they see that presentation that you make and they're like, wow. But it's kind of like the iceberg. You saw this part, but you did not see what was under the water and how much preparation. I have to give a shout out to our youngest daughter, Allie, who is actually an inspiration for the Something Extra podcast. She was in a dance competition this weekend. Jana, go look at my LinkedIn page.
Okay.
Watch Allie dance. But one of the lessons is she practices so hard. I mean, you see her like dance, but there's a lot of preparation that went into that. So you're totally, totally speaking my language. But talking about KPMG, I have said that so many times. I went into corporate. I loved my time at McDonnell Douglas. McDonnell Douglas was so good for me. Such a good preparation for what I'm even doing today, being a business owner, having understanding of the financials and understanding your numbers is really important. But I always say, I believe like the KPMGs of the world, the Deloittes of the world, I think that's a wonderful place to start.
Oh, it is an exceptional place to start. And I encourage anyone that I mentor or anyone that is going through that phase in life that I'm a proud KPMG alumni. And I love that we have events each year to bring us together because they really invested so much in each of us and training and knowledge and just career. I call it career mentorship and advice because very few places you can be a 22 or 23 year old and be sitting and having conversations with a CFO or sitting and attending, you know, some type of advisory board meeting or anything like that. And you really get to view end to end the entire company, their processes, their controls, their financial statements, what's working well, what's not. And I really enjoyed my time there. You worked really hard and we had a lot of fun and you had the opportunity to work with a lot of people in your same stage of life, but it really prepared me for so many other facets and opportunities I had later on in my career. And, you know, technology, we're usually the highest and most complex budget for any organization. And so I can manage that really well because of that background and foundation that I gained at KPMG. And I think the other key lesson that I really took away from KPMG was the investment in mentorship and training. So every year, you know, if you were a second year, you were training the first years. If you were a third year, you were training the second years. And that philosophy, I think, is so important in, you know, all of our careers is how are you offering that mentorship? How are you training, sharing the wealth of knowledge? I call it instead of being a hoarder, being that sharer of the knowledge. And how do you have that cross training amongst your teams? That's something that we're really being focused on and intentional in my team right now is just how can we be intentional of cross training amongst our teams? How can we provide that knowledge share so that we don't just have a few people or one person that knows everything. How can we share that? Mm-hmm. And so those were some great things that I learned from KPMG. And, you know, I'm very fortunate that I was given that opportunity.
I did not know that about KPMG, but I absolutely love that because one of the tenets of good leader, Jana, is to build other great leaders. And so I did not know that the second year is teaching the first year. I did not know that about KPMG, but I love that. It's kind of, there's a phrase out there, lift while you rise. So while you're rising, you're lifting other people. And I think especially, and if we get time, we'll talk about this a little bit, but I especially think women should be doing that for other women. We should be pulling each other along. And because as we know, there's, I think less than 28% of women are actually in technology. And then when you go down to the leadership roles, it goes even lower than that. So, but can you really share, because you started at KPMG, can you share like a pivotal moment in your career that really influenced your path toward technology leadership?
Yeah, I was working at a data center company at the time. And we were thinking about going public and I just kind of raised my hand to say, yeah, I'll help with like the Sarbanes-Oxley controls and everything because I had that experience and background. And then when I started doing that, I started uncovering all of the ITGC and all of these other controls we needed for the data centers and really learning our business and then learning about HIPAA compliance, Gramm-Leach-Bliley, PCI DSS. And so through that, I was learning the business and learning the technology side. And I spent a lot of time with engineers and I was completely upfront. I'm like, I don't know what you do. Explain it to me. And so then I would ask questions and ask them for clarification. And then I was learning and they were really welcoming and so nice to me. And then I realized that I had a skill because then I was able to go back to our executive team and I could summarize and share both from a financial perspective, a business perspective, and a technology perspective, everything that we were working on. And I learned that, oh, I think that this is a unique skill that I think I can focus on and hone. And I realized I really liked it. And I was energized by it. So I just kept raising my hand. I didn't have a goal for any title. I didn't have a goal to even set out that I was even exactly going to jump into the technology path. I just kept raising my hand of saying, I think I'll work on that special project. I think I could do this. And then sometimes, and then also I had some individuals ask me to do some things. And I, at first I was a little nervous. I'm like, I don't have all those answers. And they're like, well, you'll figure it out. And so through that, I found I really enjoyed the learning side from the technology perspective. And I also realized I didn't have to have all the answers. I could build the trust and build a team that had the expertise, and really just that catapulted, where I continued my journey. And then I just continued following that path. And then that gave me, it opened up another door that I was able to take kind of a director role in technology. And I learned a lot there. And I just focused on asking questions, learning. And I always just focused on walking into the room, making the assumption I'm not the smartest person in the room. And then I needed to listen and learn from the others so that we could come to the best decision.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That my brain is firing on all cylinders here, because there's so much packed in, so much wisdom and sage advice packed into what you just said, Jana, that whole journey, what you just said, because you said sometimes I was asked to do certain things. Sometimes I raise my hand. Very important lesson. Sometimes you just raise your hand. Dana Lorberg was, before she retired, was an EVP for MasterCard. And I remember her telling me that she raised her hand a lot. In fact, she raised her hand sometimes for the projects nobody else wanted. But it was one of those things that she did. Yeah. Just, I love what you just said about learning to lead. I had another leader on the podcast that global CIO for an organization. And she said, really, she goes, I don't know. There's no way I can know everything.
No,
she said,
it's no one really, can.
No, she said, it's really 80-20. She said, 80% of what I do is focused on leadership, building my team, leaning into my team. Then the other 20% is technology. You don't have to know everything, but you definitely have to be able to build a team. You have to have the humility to lean in and say, teach me. I don't know this particular area. And then obviously you have to have the passion to want to learn, because if you don't have the passion to want to learn, it's going to be hard to really move forward. But you've had several roles in technology now. You've had a great career, Jana. Now you're the CTO for this wonderful bank in Kansas City. But was there a mentor or two along the way that was really instrumental on your path?
Yeah, that's something that I've shared several times with others. I was in my late 20s, and I had had two of my children, two of my three children. And I remember I was just kind of it was stressful in my life at that point. And a gentleman who I worked with, he was actually, I was the client. He was my partner. He was working on an engagement for us. And he's like, who's mentoring you? Who's providing you guidance? And I looked at him and I was like, no one. Like, who are you? You really need to talk with someone. Well, it turns out he was my first mentor. And he really provided me so much feedback of just how to approach things in my career, how to also, he was very helpful in navigating how I was managing things from both a personal and professional perspective. And it was really helpful. I felt like to have his perspective. And then he talked to me about it. He's like, you need more than just me. He's like, you need your own kind of personal board of directors. And so that was just kind of that phrase that I was like, that it just clicked with me. And it took time. Like when I share this with people, they're like, how do you suddenly have multiple mentors that you meet with on a regular basis? I'm like, well, you just don't, it doesn't just snap and happen over time. Mm-hmm. It's these relationships you build and you build that trust. And then you recognize, okay, this is someone I can really trust and learn from. And I always encourage, I have mentors on my personal board of directors, some that are in the later stage in their career. Sometimes they might be even in a similar stage in my career. Men and women, both inside and outside of my current industry. I really look for that diversity in who I'm asking feedback on. And they're ones that they really give me some candid advice. And they don't ever tell me what to do, but they ask me really tough questions. And sometimes, too, they challenge me. And sometimes they give me feedback that I might not necessarily even want to hear. I'll be mm-hmm. honest. Mm-hmm. But I've learned that I need to process it. And I've significantly improved. I've significantly improved than 10 years previously, 10 years ago. And I need to continue to work to improve, and I'll be better 10 years from now and 5 years from now. I think if you aren't just looking to continually evolve and learn from everything, that's when you're stagnant. And that's been, I think, the biggest blessing in my life. And they're able to help me both personally and professionally, because there's been moments that are, I'll be honest, they're tough. And sometimes you don't know how to handle certain situations. And those are my mentors that I call. I'm like, how do I handle this? How do I handle this conversation? What if I, what things should I think about? And they give me different viewpoints so I can look at it in a better lens. Because I think sometimes we can only see this, but if you talk with your mentors, then you can see a broader perspective.
It is so good. There's a proverb that says, there is wisdom in many advisors. And sometimes we get in trouble when we don't have those advisors, or there are other voices and perspectives around us, right, Jana? So I love that. You are described, though, as a forward-thinking leader who blends classic business training with leadership and technology and innovation. I know that you're an early adopter. You've been said of you, you're an early adopter of emerging technologies. What technologies, Jana, have you seen in the businesses that you've been a part of that have really made a major difference on those businesses? And what are you specifically excited about in the banking world?
Yeah, I think, over time, the past 15, 20 years, right? Technology has evolved significantly. I remember being one of the first, working with a company when we were one of the first, cloud environments that we were offering to clients that was, FedRAMP certified. And back then that was really exciting for us, that we weren't using physical on-prem and we were building out this technology, and it just is continuing to evolve. I think that one of the things that is really exciting and prevalent right now in discussions is how can we leverage generative AI? And what I see it as, it's not being used necessarily to eliminate any role. It's how can you augment it to support your teams and help them be more efficient, help them get answers faster. I've talked with, another organization that they've launched that, with their client care center, so they can help get their employees the faster answers to help the clients faster. Working through how we can leverage that from development and writing code and making sure that we can have our team members leverage this expertise and knowledge source in a positive way, but also balancing the challenges and understanding that there's bad actors out there also using that same technology to also infiltrate your environment. So it's this balance right now that I think is a really critical point for not just the banking industry, but all industries. And there's obviously, Biden had an executive order on Gen AI here over the last couple months. So that is going to be coming out over the next 150 days. So I think that we'll see a lot more compliance and regulatory requirements coming out over the next several months. But I think all the companies are, I would say majority of the companies I'm talking with, everyone's trying to figure out what's the opportunity there that balances your risk with their value add. Mm-hmm. And how can you provide that value add to your business and to your clients that it moves the needle and it makes sense. So I don't think all of us have the answers yet on it, but I think we're trying to figure it out. And
it's exciting.
I think we're getting closer, and I would say it is definitely moving at exceptional rate of speed. And I think a lot of individuals have compared it to when the internet came out or when, you know, iPhones came out, and it's just that much magnified.
Yeah, I've quoted this a lot, Jana, but I feel like it's really appropriate here. I had Phil Johnson on the podcast. This is probably several months ago. He's an emotional intelligence guru out of Canada. And I will never forget this statement that he made. He said that in this century alone, we're going to have 20,000 years worth of change.
Wow.
Because of the way technology is moving and at that rapid pace. But it's exciting. I know for a lot of people, it's a little scary, but I'm with you. I do believe, because I see how there is a situation right now where we're working with a nonprofit, a lot of data. For an individual to sit there, Jana, and parse this information and try to categorize it, it would take hours. Where right. If you've got the right prompt and you've got the right program to run things through, in a matter of seconds, you can have that same analysis done. So, you know, let's use it that way and then allow the individuals to go and do something else that is strategic for that organization. So I could not agree with you more. Well, Jana, I've got a lot more to talk about with you, but we do need to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with Jana Murfin on the Something Extra podcast.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
So welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with Jana Murfin. Jana is the CTO for CrossFirst Bank. Jana, some of our listeners may not know about CrossFirst Bank. Can you tell us a little bit about the bank?
Yes, I'd be happy to, Lisa. So CrossFirst Bank is a publicly traded bank. We are headquartered in Kansas City. We have locations across the country. We have locations in Denver, Colorado Springs, Phoenix, Tucson, Fort Worth, Dallas, Preston Center, Frisco, up through Oklahoma City, Tulsa, and Wichita. So we are a regional community bank really focused on serving middle market, businesses and serving their lending needs, and also supporting and providing private banking services as well to business professionals. We are, I think, a really unique bank in that we started 16 years ago. So we are in the banking industry. We are young, but we have been a fast growth entrepreneurial company. And we just really embodied that entrepreneurial spirit in providing extraordinary service to our clients. And that's where I think we've been able to provide, I call it that, competitive advantage and difference compared to our competitors, in that we really go that extra mile in serving our clients and supporting their needs. And I think that just all goes back to our culture. When we started, we had a business strategy of being branch light, technology focused, and really focused on a culture of trust. And we really lead and live by our four C's of character, competence, commitment, and connection. And we really focus on that. And we have discussions on that as an organization. And we make sure that we are living by those values. And it's a tremendous culture that we have to work with here with all the great people that I'm privileged to have as teammates. And everyone, I think, is really aligned on our common goals and common strategy. And I would say we know how to treat each other nicely and professionally, and really supporting those four C's and making sure that if we have that commitment to each other, commit to our clients, we're working together, making sure that we have that connection and communication, making sure that we're all following the character of that integrity and honesty. And it's just been a tremendous organization to be a part of.
Jana, I love that. The four C's. I just did a post about commitment this morning. So that was funny to hear you say, because commitment, it's the commitment or the lack thereof will change your life, is the quote. But that is remarkable. I had no idea that the bank was that young.
Yeah, we're a little over, right around $7 billion in assets. So it's been a tremendous journey and story of how much growth that we have had in such a short amount of period of time. And I think that that is a testament to the leadership that we have had and really building a strong foundation, how we serve our clients, how we manage our business, and really proud to be part of this organization.
Mm-hmm. I can see. Well, if you come to CrossFirst Bank, just strap in. strap in a good way and still keeping that grounded in your values and that's amazing. You know, how do you think about leadership, Jana? Let's move into this. I would love to know, first of all, what your leadership style is, and then how do you think about leadership? What do you think it takes, mindset wise, skill set wise, to be a really good leader?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there.
I know. Well, let's just start it. What's your leadership style?
I've just always looked at, first and foremost, if everyone that I work with knows that I care about them, I feel like I'm doing a good job. First and foremost, that's just something is really important to me, that they know that I care about them professionally. I care about them personally. I really do. And that's just always been really important to me. And that they know that I'm their advocate and I'm going to be open and honest with them and help get them where they want to go and support their goals and their dreams and, you know, have those, that open dialogue. And, you know, I'm really proud to say that, you know, one of my individuals I previously worked for, you know, she became the CIO after me. And, you know, and I'm so happy for her and proud of that, because I look at that, those are opportunities of how can you help and develop and support individuals. I really look at it again as a learning opportunity. I'm learning from my teammates as much as they're learning from me, and how can I show them that, you know, advocacy and support in their journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, that builds trust too, doesn't it? When they know that you care, and then they know that they can really trust you. And I'm thinking, as you're talking, Jane, I'm thinking about Steve Covey, Stephen M. R. Covey, not Covey Senior, but Covey Junior, that wrote the book, The Speed of Trust. I don't know if you've read that book.
I have read it. Mm-hmm.
Such an amazing book, but his whole premise is you can only go as quickly as there's trust in the organization. So I think your team knowing that you care about them, that you're investing in them, that you want to help them reach their aspirations, whatever that may be, I believe just builds trust. And I believe that as an organization, then you're going to go faster. So I love everything that you just said. Well, what advice would you give? And you've already given a lot of advice, but from a financial and understanding your numbers, and you've already given a lot of advice, but what would you say to younger professionals, and especially women who are aspiring to that level that you've reached in your own journey, Jana?
You know, I would recommend, if you're, you know, starting out in your journey, the focus of relationships and really focus on, even if it's an area that might not interest you, or it, really making sure you're broadening your relationships inside and outside of technology. Because you need to understand finance, you need to understand human resources, you need to understand marketing, you need to understand all facets of a business. And so the more you can get exposed to individuals in those areas and build relationships so you can gain their insights and build that trust, I think that you can continue to learn and grow. And I think that will accelerate your opportunities, because you'll be in a unique position. that's where I say, don't just sit in the technology team and think that you're just going to learn in the technology world. I think you have to look broader. And I think that that really expands the opportunity and frankly, that, you know, the expertise of an individual. And I think then as you focus on those relationships and then making sure that you're raising your hand and you are asking for those opportunities and you're accepting those opportunities that also come come your way, even if sometimes they might not seem like a good opportunity. Every opportunity is a good opportunity to learn, even if you don't think so at the beginning. And I'll tell you, I was part of initiatives and projects I probably dragged my feet on a little bit that I wasn't too thrilled about, but at the end of the day, you learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. And you're glad you had those experiences. Well, I love what you just said, Jana, because technology really, and I've heard other leaders say this, that it's really important to not just go within the technology, but really to go broader and build those relationships, because technology touches and integrates with so many of those functional areas. And there may be, you know, a time where technology is working with finance. And if you've got relationships within that finance function, I guarantee you're going to be able to get things done much quicker than if you did not have the relationship. And the other thing that I've heard leaders say is build a relationship when it's not necessary. Don't wait until that happens to build a relationship. So, wow, so much good wisdom there. Well, where do you see technology and leadership in particular, technology going in the next decade? You know, what competencies do you think are going to be necessary for the future leader?
I don't know if necessarily it will change from what, you know, you need today. I think first and foremost, I think, you know, a strong leader, it has to have strong communication skills. And I think that, you know, like we talked about earlier on how to build teams and build trust, and obviously have, you know, the appropriate technology acumen. But I think it just really goes down to just continuing to have that passion to learn, continue to build those relationships and communicate well. You know, you have to be able to just share that shared vision and goals and be able to explain, I call it always explaining the why behind it. Because you need everyone bought in and rowing in the same boat and in the same direction. And if you can do that, you'll accomplish many things.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love the analogy of rowing in the same boat. And that, if you've ever been in a canoe, some people doing this and some people,
I think my husband would say that we were not very good at kayaking or canoeing together. We had to figure it out.
I guarantee you my husband would say the same thing, but it's a great metaphor, right? Isn't it, Jana, for teams? And you need everyone rowing in the same direction or you're going to go around in circles. So are you a triathlon competitor?
I have competed in several triathlons. I have.
Okay. I had not asked you that, but I had read something and it just made me wonder. I'm like, I wonder if she competes in triathlons. Wow. What has the training in that taught you about yourself?
Well, you can't just show up on triathlon morning day and show up. And
compete.
So you have to prepare. And so there's, you know, you have to plan it out well in advance, several months. So you have to decide in advance that you're making this commitment. And then you have to really plan out when you're going to do your training. And then in triathlon words, it's called like a brick workout, what they call it. So where you have to, you do two of them together. So you either will go swim and then run or swim and go bike. And that takes a longer, you know, span of time. And so planning that around with my family and everything, you have to really make that commitment. And it means a lot of times you're waking up really early in the morning to get it done and get it in. And especially I'm doing a lot of that training in the summer before the heat. But then it gets you prepared. So then on race day, you feel prepared, you know what to expect. And then you can go out and give it your all. You know, I always share that it's taught me a lot. I always share the story of my first triathlon. I panicked in the water. I did. And
I would definitely panic.
No one really explained to me how many people would be surrounding me and kicking me while swimming. And I remember like one of the people supervising, like kind of hollered at me and said, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I just need a minute." And then I continued forward. But sometimes, you know, right, you just need a minute to collect yourself and then you can keep moving forward. And then I went on and I've done several more triathlons since then. And then I learned from that. And then I now know what to expect. I'm ready and prepared when I enter in that water. And I'm always happy when the water portion's done.
I'm sure. Well, that is something I've never thought about before, Jana, until you just said that. Because really and truly, there's probably so many people in the water. Not everybody stays in their swim lane.
There are no lanes.
There are no lanes, right? Oh, wow. I've never thought about that before. That's, wow, that's great. Well, I've got two more questions for you, and then we'll go to something extra. Share with our listeners how you grow. I mean, what are your go-tos? Are there any books that you would recommend, podcasts that you listen to? And I know you're going to be a something extra podcast listener after this podcast, Jana. That's going to be one of your go-tos. But are there organizations that you're involved in? Anything like that that you could share with our listeners that might help them?
I think it's a balance, right? I'm part of several organizations. You know, I was a founding member of the Inspire CIO chapter, and I learned so much from meeting regularly with my peers and all the other tremendous CIOs in Kansas City and then also nationally. I also worked with several other female CIOs across the country. We formed a female CIO group and we've been having events through Inspire CIO, and that has been tremendous in supporting other women. I also have been part of a next generation leadership program where I'm a mentor to several females kind of early on in their technology career and journey. I also serve on boards here in Kansas City in the nonprofit world and get to meet numerous other individuals there. And you learn from processes and everything going through that experience. You know, and then I also just look at ways that I can learn myself, not only meeting with my mentors, but I know I've listened to your podcast. I also listened to like the CIO Tech Whisperer. I also read a lot. I really enjoy reading. And so I will study up and, make sure that I'm looking at all different aspects. So trying to balance it all. I don't think it's one answer. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of different components that add up together.
Agreed. Is there one book that you're reading now or you read recently that really impacted you that you would want to share with the listeners? Can you think of one?
You know, I think Good to Great is a book that I've read that is really good. And just, I feel like it's like a very simplified version of just how you can be a really impactful leader and really make an impact on your team. We also are a strengths organization, Gallup Strengths Finder organization. We really focus on our strengths and do a tremendous job of that. I've read a lot of books over the years on our strengths and how we can capitalize on those and how we can foster that throughout our team. So mm-hmm. I think it's just finding what you're passionate about. I think everyone's different and what they are focusing on. And I think it also depends on where you're at in your career journey and personally and professionally of what you want to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two great books, listeners. If you've not read those books, Strength Finders, fantastic book, $20. There is a free assessment in the back. It gives you a code. You can go take that assessment. I would highly, highly, highly recommend you. I read that when it first came out, Jana, but even a large organization here, which I'm sure you're familiar with, Bayer, you know, it used to be Monsanto. Everyone that works at Bayer goes through Strength Finders as well as DISC. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful tool. So, one more question before we go to something extra. How do you stay? Because you're a mom, you're a technology executive. You've already said you mentor people. You're very involved in the community in a lot of organizations. How do you stay balanced? How do you stay grounded? Gianna?
I always say you have to make sure you focus on what your top priorities are, and just make sure that you're communicating that and know what those are. And, you know, I don't have a perfect answer. And I've also learned throughout my career, everyone's different. And I think I remember like observing some women in my career early on, and I'm like, do I have to follow that example? Because I don't necessarily want that example. I want to follow this path. Like, this is what really matters to me. And so I had to learn early on that I needed to follow my path and hold true to that. You know, and I think just prioritizing what really matters to you. And like, I know that I'm going to make every effort to make my kids' activities in the evening and make those games and be the ones cheering on them. But I also know I might be doing some things, you know, from a professional standpoint at other times, you know, throughout the week to make sure that I can be there for those moments. I don't think I have a perfect answer in that. You just continue to figure it out and focus on what matters most to you. You know, one of the things that I decided on, I have three kids. I don't ever miss a birthday. Mm-hmm. I don't miss a birthday. And I've been able to hold true to that. And that was just something that I really cared about. So those are just things, again, what works for me might not work for someone else. And that was, I think, my biggest lesson.
That's your biggest aha.
That's what I think mm-hmm. really clicked for me. And then just being open and honest about it. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, everyone knows that I am professional and I get my work done and I know what needs to get done and when. And then they know that my family is important to me and I'm going to make, you know, they will be prioritized and be a priority for me as well. And so, mm-hmm. and I think that goes back to the trust and working with great people. And when you have that, I think everything works well.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Could not agree more. Well, tell me this, Gianna, this is called Something Extra. What do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
You know, I just think number one, just being that supportive advocate for your team members and your teammates and your peers and for the individuals you report to. I think if you are supportive and an advocate and communicate with them well, I think that that's the number one opportunity to just always focus on. If you are being supportive, advocating for them, helping them reach their goals, reach whatever, you know, strategies and focus opportunities that everyone is working on, I think that that's where you have a winning outcome.
Yeah, that's good. I've got another book to recommend to you, Gianna. Based on what you just said, you're going to love it. If you have not read the book by Jeff Henderson called Four, F-O-R, Four. He was the CMO for the Atlanta Braves. He worked, I believe, the CMO or something similar at Chick-fil-A. He's with the John Maxwell Group now, but his name is Jeff Henderson, F-O-R.
I will go order that.
And it's really about being for your people, for your family, for your team. But if you unpack that and just what you just said, being supportive, okay, child number one, what does support look like for child number one? It might be different than what support looks like for child number two, right? Team member one, it may be different. Jenny may need something different from me than Sapantha, our COO, right? So, yeah, you're going to love this book. You're going to love it. Gianna, thank you so much. I have absolutely loved this time with you, and I can't wait to see you again face-to-face. You know, Kansas City is not that far away. We could do a lunch or something. We can do it.
Well, I look forward to seeing you soon, and hopefully I'll see you at one of our CIO events here soon. And I just really sincerely appreciate you asking me to meet today. Really enjoyed being a part of your podcast and love the message and the support that you're providing through it.
Very good. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.